Wonderful. Okay, so today's preach. There we go, we're done. If we can move it to the next slide and then give me a thumbs up if you want me to try the clicker again. Right, so today's preach is taking fun seriously. So we're going to have a bit of fun and it's also very serious. Okay? So, I know it's the summer holidays, and so some of you are really tired and you're going to switch off in approximately 30 seconds. That's fine. There are two things that I want you to take away, and then you can switch off and you don't have to pay any more attention, okay? Number one, burning out isn't holy. That's the serious bit. It's not holy. And in fact, I think some of it could be direct disobedience to what God tells us to do. This is where I told you it's a bit serious. But the fun bit, I want you to go have a feast. Okay? Yeah? All right, you can switch off now. You don't have to listen to anything else. Okay, so the passage that we're looking at today is Deuteronomy 16, or thereabouts. We've gone a bit before and a bit afterwards. And Deuteronomy 16, this lays out God's law around feasts and celebration. Deuteronomy is another reading of the law. So before Moses died, he repeats the really key points, keynote presentation on the Jewish law. And there are four feasts and celebrations that are laid out in this section. Or, you know, technically, there's a bit more. I'll take you through why in a minute. First one, Deuteronomy 15, is the sabbatical year. So sabbatical year, a year of release and reset. It's every 7 years. You're going to see seven popping up a lot. So in the Bible, seven means wholeness, completeness, perfection of God. And in every seven, there's a period of rest, a period of fun or celebration. In every period of wholeness, completeness, perfection, every whole period, there is a period of rest. So sabbatical year, rest and release. The Jews were to free any Jewish slaves, so people that had sold themselves into tithe service because potentially they had money difficulties or something else, they were to be freed and they were to forgive any debt of their Jewish brothers and sisters. So this was to make sure that there were no poor among them. That's what the Bible says. You're going to release, you're going to redeem, you're going to forgive. And we're going to reset to the way things were 7 years ago, effectively. And it says that this should not be hard for you. So you're going to, if you've lent someone money last year, and it happens to be the sabbatical year the next year, you're going to forgive that debt, and you're not going to be grumpy about it. You're going to be happy about it, okay? The next one's Passover. So this is where we start to get into the annual festivals. There are actually seven, again. And this section of Passover, it covers three of those. So you've got actual Passover, that's the first one. And then you eat unleavened bread for 7 days. We're getting into Deuteronomy 16 now. And then you've got celebration of first fruits, that's a day. So that's three festivals in the one package. You're going to make a sacrifice. You eat the unleavened bread because when God brought the Jews out of Egypt, they didn't have time to rise the bread, let the bread rise, so they had to eat flatbread. I quite like flatbread, so I think that's probably all right. And you have a feast. And this is to remember that God brought you out of Egypt, so you shouldn't go back. It's a period of remembering. It's a period of reflecting. And we're making sure that we don't go back. And you see the Jews do this again and again. They get a bit grumpy. They go, oh, I wish we went back to Egypt. You see Christians doing this again and again in a sort of a New Testament, New Covenant time, going, oh, well, you know, I was freed and redeemed, but actually it was probably a bit easier before, so I'm going to go back. Purpose of this festival, remember, don't go back. Okay, so that's 1 to 3. Number four, you've got the Feast of Weeks. Oh, gone a bit ahead. Many clicker problems today. Apologies for the... it's good now, okay. So Feast of Weeks, Deuteronomy 16, 9 to 12. A period of rejoicing. So this is your fourth festival throughout the Jewish year. It's the end of the grain harvest. You give a free will offering. So that means that you just give freely something that you choose to. There's a list of things you can give. You include, it says, servants, sojourners, orphans, widows, and the Levitical priests that are among you, so those serving you as priests. This is an important time where everyone is included in the feast. And it's really important that it specifies this, because imagine part of this is that you're not going to do work for some periods of this feast, but also your servants are not going to do work. So it's not that you can do whatever you want and there are going to be people that are going to sort it out for you. Everyone is having a rest, and we need to ensure that the Levitical priests are those serving us who don't have every... The purpose of the Levitical priesthood was to be the intermediary between people and God, and they weren't given an allotment of land. It was the duty of the Jewish people to provide for them. So you are to include them in this feast as well. And the purpose, it says, is to remember that you were a slave in Egypt. So we are celebrating God's blessing. Okay. So there are actually two feasts in between this. Trumpets, which is the new year, and atonement. So this is where we're asking for God's forgiveness and atonement of the Jewish people. Those ones are not covered in this passage. The next one that's covered is Feast of Booths. And this is basically a church weekend away. Everybody gets their tents out. And we have, it's a time of feasting and celebration. Everyday life comes to a halt. And you spend 7 days in a tent. Right. How was that, Matthew and Anna? 7 days in a tent? It's great. It's great. Back's not sore at all. No. And this is to remember the time that the Jews spent in the desert. So between when they were brought out of Egypt and they reached the promised land, they spent 40 years in tents. I hope you like camping. And again, the whole family were to be involved. So your servants, sojourners, which means people that are passing through and maybe staying for a while, they might not be Jewish, but they've come to live with the Jewish people for a period of time. Orphans and widows, so those who might not necessarily have the family to provide a big feast and to take care of them, make sure you include those people too. And the Levitical priests. It's a big holiday, a big feast, and it's lots of fun. And it says it's because the Lord will bless you and you'll be altogether joyful. Okay, so in our period of sevens, we have four specific feasts and celebrations that are called out in this bit of Deuteronomy. And they are so important that they are included with all the other keynote bits of the law. I think we forget this quite often. So these feasts, these points of celebration, these points of rest, these points of stop are so important that they are in this section of the law that we need to remember. Right, so why are they so important and what goes wrong with them? Cool, clicker's working, that's good. All right, so I think there's probably about four ways that this can go a bit wrong. And I imagine you'll fit broadly into one of these four categories. I'm going to start with this one. Has anyone read the story of Martha and Mary? That's where Jesus comes to Martha and Mary's house. Martha's running around like a mad woman, trying to make everything happen. And then Mary has the audacity to just go sit down. Has anyone read that and kind of thought, I think Martha might have been in the right, actually? No? Yeah, couple. All right. Yeah, you're with me in this category, okay? So we are very good at treating rest as a weakness. And it's very tempting, if you're in this category with me, to look at this story and go, well, yeah, of course Martha was grumpy. She's trying to make everything happen. She's trying to make it all work. Jesus has shown up unannounced. And there's food to be made. It's not clean. I don't know, there's like goats and chickens running around. And Mary just goes and sits at Jesus' feet. And then she says, Jesus, Mary's not even supposed to be there. She's a woman. She's supposed to be helping me. And Jesus goes, Mary's chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her. So if you are in this category, sorry, you're wrong. And the very difficult thing that I've had to come to terms with is that no one's going to reward you for your self-imposed martyrdom. It's a bit harsh. I told you, there's a bit of serious as well. Right. If you are pushing and pushing and pushing and you're never resting, it's not the good portion. Jesus doesn't say, well done, Martha, you're keeping everything running. He says, Mary's chosen the good portion, and it's not going to be taken away from her. We treat rest as weakness, but actually I think sometimes the inability to rest is the real weakness. Because I think the easy answer to this is, well, if I don't do it, nobody's going to get it done. And that might be sort of true, but actually, does it matter if it doesn't get done? Maybe there'll be some dirty laundry. Maybe people just have to eat crackers. I don't know. But why are you running around like a crazy person trying to do everything and missing out on sitting at Jesus' feet? Is there maybe a bit of pride in there that says, I'm actually bit better than everyone else because I'm making everything happen and I don't have to rest. I'm going to keep pushing until I fall over. And everyone else is just going to enjoy it. If you're in this category, the Bible says, sit at Jesus' feet. And the wonderful thing about this is often, because rest is a gift and fun is a gift, and we're going to keep talking about that, most of the things that are nice for you are often the times that you connect with God. For me, going for a walk in the countryside, going for a swim, spending some time painting, those are all my favorite things, and those are also the times where I feel closest to God, where I feel that I'm sitting at Jesus' feet, that I'm praying and I'm listening and I can hear God speaking to me. Rest is a wonderful gift. Okay? I'm going to leave you alone now, Martha's, so you can relax. Next one. Pharisees. So, I think another thing that can go a bit wrong, okay, is you are too holy to have fun. So maybe you have some free time. You know that you're not supposed to work. You're very good at that. So what you're going to do is you're going to sit down and you're going to do a 5-hour Bible study, and you're probably going to start it at 5 in the morning. Bible study is good. Getting up early to spend time with God is good. The law is good. But the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Right? So if you're seeing fun as something that's frivolous, a waste of your time, that you're too holy for, you're sort of missing the point. You're choosing what to see as holy, because the Bible tells us to spend time with God, to pray, to put time aside for God. But as we've just talked about, there's a whole section of the law dedicated to having feasts and having fun and spending time together. You can't pick and choose which bits of the law are the holy bits. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Rest and fun and points of celebration are a gift. They're made for you. And they're important. All right. The other way we can go a bit wrong, prodigal son approach. You're an individual, and you've forgotten about others. So you have loads of fun, but maybe it's the wrong kind. You've taken from other people you've gone off, you've gone to do a whole bunch of fun things by yourself, and you found that actually it's a bit empty. And maybe you're even doing sort of fun within the bounds of what the Bible describes as good fun, but it's still a bit empty. For you, the Bible talks about returning to community. The prodigal son realizes the emptiness in everything he's been doing, and he returns home. Guess what happens when he returns home? A big feast, a big celebration. Everybody eats together, and they enjoy the time together. It's important to come back to your church community, your family, to believers, because they're your family. They are your brothers and sisters. You should, as much as you take, you should serve and include them in your feasting and in your fun, because that's where it's meaningful, that's where it's important. When God talks about these feasts in the law, he talks about being together. So to you, return home, return to community. Right, final one. There are many places throughout the Old and New Testament where we hear about those who are despised, who are cut off and pushed away from society. I've given the example here of the leper, but we also see the example of the woman who was bleeding and she came to Jesus for healing. There's people on the fringes who we might not include in our fun. Sojourners, orphans, widows. Maybe because there's something about them which is just a bit, I don't know, they might bring a weirdness to my feast. Maybe they'll bring the mood down, or maybe they're a bit weird to be around my children. I don't know where I'm going to put them in the